Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. We started this journey in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench in 2007. And here we are, heading into the 2024 Vancouver Wine Festival. For me, doing interviews, it's like a two-hour marathon. But it would be nice if we don't lose sight of the fact that BC wineries are in tough shape. They're hanging on. They've had two freezing winters, as you know. They've had the fires. They've had the road closures. Cross-border wine wars, as you well know, that have been documented. I know some of them have doubts about how they can get through this year and the next. But we can help. We can help. We, the wine fans, people who plunk down their hard-earned dough for BC Wine. I just wanted to remind you of some of the people who are working hard to support BC Wine, to shape it, to lead it. We did these interviews on Zoom, so you'll hear us referencing cameras and things, although Tim Pozzi's camera didn't work. But Tim did, and his audio did. And the guests are Christine Coletta, Haywire, Okanagan Crush Pad, Reese Pender, Master of Wine, his winery, Little Farm, and the Similkameen. Kimberly Hundredmark, the leader of the Okanagan Wine Festival. Tim Pozzi, Hired Belly. He's a writer. He's a wine judge. He's a great tastemaster. Leslie D'Andrea, the co-founder, co-owner of Noble Ridge in Okanagan Falls. Sandra Ofield, bless her heart, of Elysian Projects Incorporated. And Grant Stanley, wonderful winemaker at Spearhead in Lake Country and leader of the best small winery in Canada. And we welcome a new sponsor, Winemaker's Cut, in the District Wine Village, Oliver. Please, if you can, have a listen to what they have to say to you. Thank you. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Vancouver Wine Festival. The wine world is coming to Vancouver February 24 through March 3. 147 wineries from 12 countries, including 71 wineries from the theme country, Italy. They participate in 42 events over 8 days. Taste the World, the International Festival Tastings, February 29 through March 2nd, featuring 800 wines, tasting stations, and small bites. Tickets still available for select tastings, minglers, and seminars at vanwinefest.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio, and we have some guests for you. 7, I think. This is all about the wine growers of BC and their initiative to fall into BC wine. It's a good phrase because it's fall. The wine festival is on. But there's a sidebar story that goes with their message of fall into BC wine. It's because there are some wineries in the Okanagan, many, who are hanging on by their fingernails because of fires, smoke, the perfect storm of a hot summer and a deep freeze in the winter, roads being closed when they were wide open for business in the middle of summer, and short crops, about half of what they would normally get coming off of the fields. And so with the wine fest in mind, I thought we'd gather together some commentary just to get a sense of what's going on from the farmers themselves. They need our help, and this, hopefully, will tell you in this next hour how we can all help. In the first two segments, Christine Coletta, the founder of Okanagan Crush Pad and Haywire Wines, and one of the leaders in BC Wine. Grant Stanley, the award-winning winemaker and general manager at Spearhead, the best small winery in Canada. Reese Pender, master of wine, and himself a farmer and a winemaker at Little Farm in the Similkameen. And Kimberly Hundredmark, the executive director, I've probably given her the wrong title, the leader at Okanagan Wine Fests. She's busy. The second half of the show is a conversation between Sandra Ofield, a founding partner in Elysian Projects, was the winemaker and the leader at Tinhorn Creek in the South Okanagan. Tim Pozzi, Hired Belly, a judge, a writer. Leslie D'Andrea, the co-founder and CEO of Noble Ridge in Okanagan Falls. Those are our 7 guests. There's lots to discuss, lots. But mostly, how can we help these wineries, these restaurants, these growers, and the accommodation people that go with the wine destinations? I sought opinions, and I got them. And so do you. If you're ready and you can help, here we go. Okay, I'm recording video and I'm recording audio. Bless us all. Thank you for doing this. I much appreciate it. Let me see if I can do roll call right here, right now. This is a Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We start with Kimberly Hundredmark, the general manager of the Okanagan Wine Festivals. And you are where?
I am at Township 7, just standing in their parking lot with the beautiful Naramata in the background. Check it out.
So you're in your studio.
Yes.
Rhys Pender, master of wine and co-owner of Little Farm in the Similkameen. You are where, sir?
I am in my garage in Kelowna, but it looks like I'm in the vineyard, which is nicer.
I love that. So,
yeah. You're not. It's too green, Rhys.
Grant Stanley, the winemaker and general manager of Spearhead Winery in just outside Kelowna.
Well, president accounted for.
Okay. And Christine Coletta, co-founder of Okanagan Crush Band Haywire. Still, did I get that right?
You did. Hi.
Thank you. Hi. And where are you? Where I found you?
At home. Oh, yes. Wonderful. I got booted out of the winery about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't have an office there anymore and I love it.
Wait a minute. You didn't get booted. Didn't you boot yourself?
It was either that or you share an office with my husband. So I decided that working from home was a really good idea.
Okay.
It's a very elegant piece of art in the background there, Chris. What is that?
It's beautiful. It's like
I have a collection of horns and antlers and things. So I think that's probably cool. What that is. Yeah.
Thank you for the chummy conversation. Let's move on. Because we have things to talk about, frankly, and I love the fact that you are sharing the screen with me. Fall into BC Wine is an attempt by the wine growers of British Columbia to bring attention to and perhaps help to move forward a dialogue about saving or helping or in some cases saving wineries in BC through some very tough times right now. Would someone please give me the correct description of exactly what we're going through so that I can use your words and not my own? Anyone?
It's a resiliency campaign, I believe, is the best way to phrase what's going on from a marketing perspective is on behalf of the industry and tourism. Actually, I was just at the Thompson Okanagan Tourism Summit, and that's also the vocabulary that's being thrown around.
Christine?
Yeah, so the last few years have been a perfect storm in the industry with fires and smoke and COVID and impacts to tourism. This past year, in my area, a slide that closed the highway three times, and impacts to tourism all the way around, in addition to a really sort of softening economy. So, you know, a lot of us are open and ready for visitors, and we're really encouraging people to continue to plan to come to the Okanagan and not wait for spring. We're here and we're happy to see people.
Rhys, how bad is the situation in the Okanagan? And is it a combination of everything? Is it the fires? Is it freeze? Everything?
Yeah, I think as Chris said, it's been a bit of a perfect storm. So you've had these challenges to the market with people maybe deterred from coming to visit, and also these climate issues that have happened too, landslides, fires. And of course, there was that well-publicized kind of, I think it was December 22nd last year, that maybe knocked off more than half of the crop across British Columbia, so you're in this situation now where, you know, wineries are maybe not having the visitors, not having the market, the sales, and also not having much wine coming down the pipe, which you know, is going to really challenge, you know, like Kimberly said, the resiliency of some of these business models, I think. So there's a lot of different parts happening right now, I think, that are kind of all go together. They're very separate, but they all have a kind of a downing effect on the industry as a whole.
Grant, just recount, if you will, for our audience, and remind us the troubles that have struck mightily at Spearhead.
Yeah, certainly. Well, been talking about 50%, for us, it was closer to 95% here on the home block. So, you know, we didn't really have a harvest, so to speak. Still have a lot of work to do out here. And there's no doubt that the last two winters, you know, starts with winter kill and some weakening, and then crown gall and there's a whole bunch of vineyard issues that have made it, you know, really suddenly super difficult to farm here. I can't echo the same thoughts about tourism. We've had, you know, incredible visits to the wine shop and the tasting room this year, right through the season. Things have been great, but certainly, you know, the next year or two is going to be super challenging, just having enough wine coming down the chute to satisfy all of our market demands.
Does anybody have a problem with the closing of the roads, or did we all agree that it had to happen at that moment?
I don't think there's ever a perfect time. Sorry, Chris. I don't think there's ever a perfect time.
I was going to say that I think a 3 weeks call on avoiding the Okanagan might have been a little extreme, and you know, definitely a 3 day pause would have been appropriate. But I heard from hoteliers that they were empty, and people immediately when the fires came, people went home. They did the right thing, and they left on their own accord. Yeah. They didn't have to be told to leave. And then there wasn't really the uptake from people looking for accommodation. They stayed with friends and families. They went camping. They went to different communities. So it was a major challenge. And it wasn't just hotels. There's other operators that were impacted all the way across the line in terms of golfing and river rafting and, you know, renting boats on the lake. It was widespread. It really was.
Reese, and the Similkameen, they had their own fires, but nothing like what was happening in Kelowna. And yet your highway was closed as well, yes?
The highway, you know, well, the landslide that Chris was talking about too also affected the Similkameen traffic a lot. And then the smoke from the fires up near Cathedral Lakes there would kind of come in and then go and come in and then go. And but, you know, as soon as that makes the big news, right, people just stop coming altogether, right? And so, you know, we're quite close to Osoyoos down there and get some traffic through there. And I was hearing that their hotels were at 20-25% capacity in August and September, which is like the prime season, right? And so they're laying off all their staff because there's no guests. And like that trickle on effect that everyone was talking about, I think, is the real difficulty. We just had just finally, after about 6 years, tried to open, like, to do tastings at Little Farm, and then just got hit with, we opened July 1st, I think, and had a few weeks just getting going, and then fires, landslides, and then it was just, you know, basically done. There was no one coming around, no one driving around, no one visiting the area. So yeah, that was you know, a real challenge.
Grant, how long did it take Kelowna to recover?
Things happened pretty quickly once the roads were open and people are allowed to get out there. Luckily, we have a lot of local traffic as well. People maybe were a little, you know, bored hanging around at home. And so they come to the tasting room and hang out and have a little bit of a smoke.
How are you going to be doing in terms of bottling and harvest this year?
Well, you know, the good thing about the wine business is that, you know, in our world, we have a lot of barreled wines, and you can kind of minimize the impact on one year by kind of spreading things around a little bit. We had a good harvest of some varietals last year that we're going to kind of try and, you know, make 2 years supply out of. Certainly our agents in Vancouver and Calgary and Edmonton will be, you know, well and truly cut off, and we'll look to sell everything from here, from the tasting room, okay, and to our wine club. So that's strategically, we're optimistic, and we look forward to, hopefully a healthy, happy harvest next year. And if that's the case, then, you know, we can kind of spread the damage across a wider plane.
Kimberly, your wine festival, what do your bones tell you? You've got good gut instinct. What do you think it's going to, the start will be like?
I still feel like it's a slow crawl. But they're coming back. I've been watching really carefully the box office just to see what the trends are as far as visitation. And we are seeing Vancouver coming back. We're seeing Alberta coming back. We're seeing north traveling south, south traveling north. So I do feel that although it's going to be soft, people are really looking to getting back out and supporting our wine industry and our accommodators and hospitality overall. So I'm feeling really positive. Everybody's energy is good. We seem to be out from underneath the shadow a little bit. And it's at the direction of Destination BC. They're looking for shoulder season development, and the wine industry has been identified as one of those pillars to be able to do that. So I'm happy to lead the charge. As you know, it's something I'm passionate about. I really do positively feel that this is going to be great, is going to be something new that we can layer in and really help to elevate the status of our wineries year round.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Vancouver Wine Festival. The wine world is coming to Vancouver February 24 through March 3. 147 wineries from 12 countries, including 71 wineries from the theme country, Italy. They participate in 42 events over 8 days. Taste the World, the International Festival Tastings, February 29 through March 2, featuring 800 wines, tasting stations, and small bites. Tickets still available for select tastings, minglers, and seminars at vanwinefest.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Everyone loves wines, but if you're looking for red specifically, listen up. The 2019 Founders Block Gamay Noir, the 2018 Hidden Valley Vineyard Merlot, the 2016 Dickinson Vineyard Merlot, the 2020 Pinot Noir, the 2020 Merlot, and the 2019 Syrah, given 92 points by Dr. Jamie Good. The highlight, of course, is the 2016 Mosaic, 95 points awarded by John Schreiner. They are all available for sale. And I'm pleased to report that the tasting room will open at Hillside March the 16th, and the bistro will open March the 20th. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. Christine Coletta, you.
Yes.
The second part of this conversation is about how we can help, we, the wine fan, the industry. How do we start? What are the things that we can do?
Well, we're going to, you know, as Grant and others pointed out, we're going to have some short crops, and a lot of people are going to be pulling back a little bit so that they can make sure that their tasting room and their tourism and their direct to consumer efforts are managed first and foremost. That's the most profitable channel for us, so obviously we're going to protect it. Private retailers, the liquor board, and restaurants, don't forget about BC Wines over the coming few years. We are going to be working hard to balance inventory and juggle all the different channels that we have to supply. But, you know, to me, we've worked so hard over the last 35 years to put BC Wines on the map. I really hope that the consumer stays with us through some of these difficult times.
And I think kind of an important thing, too, is like we don't want pity support from this, right? It's you know, it's the wines are good, the wines are there in terms of quality, and you know, I think that's what we want people to support it, because it's actually the wines are really good and really good value in that kind of mid price point. You know, we don't make cheap wine in BC because we don't have a big bulk wine region to do that, but we make really great value wine in that sort of 25 to 50 range that competes anywhere in the world. And why not enjoy the BC wine and get on board with it?
Any thoughts on that, Grant?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the long 35 years, or in my time, 21 years, really only the last two have been challenging. Prior to that, I kind of felt that I'd landed here in a kind of viticultural nirvana. So, you know, there's no reason to be pessimistic. I think these are kind of weird events, freaky events, and I wouldn't anticipate them, you know, being the norm. The norm, I think, is that this place is, you know, really a wonderful place to grow grapes, certainly a great place to make wine. And the industry has been nothing but hugely successful around us in every respect, in growth and development for the last, you know, certainly in the entire time I've been here. So, yeah, I'm super optimistic. And I think this is just a little blip that we'll get through, and then we'll get back to the business of, you know, back to good size harvests and making good wine and selling wine.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you. That's fantastic.
Add one thing to that too, in terms of the positive, like this is actually a good opportunity, right? Sometimes you especially in growing grapes, you plant something, you're very reluctant to kind of change what you've put in the ground because it's a long time frame to kind of get it sorted out. So, you know, sometimes when Mother Nature steps in and maybe says, you know, this shouldn't be here, do something else here, this is an opportunity to put the right grape in the right place, have those ones that are more resilient, that are maybe hardier, that grow better. And we can kind of like do a little, it's almost like a little reset button in a way, and we'll reset and build from a stronger place than we were ever in before. And probably, you know, with the best grapes in the best sites, where, you know, they're estimating something like 26% of the BC vineyards need to be replanted. Like, that's a huge opportunity to do it right, and we'll be better from that. So
let's hope it's not all going backwards into hybrids though, Reese. I've had a lot of people asking me whether or not we're going to be planting, you know, Bosch and stuff again, and the answer is definitely a resounding no. But I suspect just from my inquiries to nurseries in Ontario that there will be a lot of 21B Riesling going in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
the timing of this is cruel. You've been voted the best small winery, performing small winery in Canada, and then you get smacked upside the head.
Yeah, it's not fair at all.
No,
it's not fair.
Christine Coletta, this is going to take leadership. Do we have the leadership to see us through?
You know, we've had our ups and downs over the past 35 years. We're incredibly resilient as independent operators, small, medium, and large operations. And you know, at the heart of it all, we're all farmers, and we're all used to getting kicked down once in a while by Mother Nature or the elements. We didn't have any winter damage per se, and we were going into, you know, the year looking pretty good. And then we got hit with cutworms and with grasshoppers, and we're organic certified. We didn't really have a lot of tools to deal with that. And we had a really, really challenging season. So, you know, I think that reminds us all not to be too smug, because the minute we think it's smooth sailing, something will come along to challenge us. But as Reese pointed out, it's an opportunity for us to step up as individual wow. owners and you know, change things. I mean, from my point of view, it's an opportunity to double down on all your efforts, push through, and work harder. I mean, that's what we're all going to have to do.
Okay. The thing is, I'm thinking about buying BC, going to the restaurant two nights ago, and in Calgary, ordering BC wines. Like, that's what we can do. We can buy, we can recommend, to our friends, we can gift, we can do what we can to increase some sales and really be focused. Can we get the stores, can we get the wine stores to bring displays up front so you can't possibly miss the message?
Yeah, I think we can do all that. You know, our trading partners have been with us over the years, and consumers really want BC wines, as, you know, others on have pointed out. So I think there's an opportunity to do that. People can join a wine club.
Yep.
They don't even have to come here. Join a wine club. Join any wine club. You're going to get treated like a rock star. You're going to get wonderful wines delivered to your door. You get to be involved in pickup parties and all the fun events that go on at different wineries. And then again, go into your local retailer and ask for BC wines. You'll find some of your favorites, and you'll also discover some new ones too.
Maybe even have to pound the counter from time to time.
And you'll be treated like royalty because you picked that winery, and they want you to come and visit and experience what they're all about, their sense of place, their storytelling. It's going to be awesome.
What's your website?
Thewinefestivals.com.
Christine Coletta, what's your website?
Haywirewinery.com.
Reese?
Littlefarmwinery.com.
That's not CA, Reese. It is Little Farm. And we'll get that in there. Grant.
Spearheadwinery.com.
Thank you all for doing this. Thank you, thank you, thank you for putting up with me. I appreciate it very much. We just got to get a ball rolling, and this is how you start. Thank you
all.
Absolutely. Thank you, Terry.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Have a great week.
Yeah, bye, everyone. Nice to see you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Everyone loves wines, but if you're looking for red specifically, listen up. The 2019 Founders Block Gamay Noir, the 2018 Hidden Valley Vineyard Merlot, the 2016 Dickinson Vineyard Merlot, the 2020 Pinot Noir, the 2020 Merlot, and the 2019 Syrah, given 92 points by Dr. Jamie Good. The highlight, of course, is the 2016 Mosaic, 95 points awarded by John Schreiner. They are all available for sale. And I'm pleased to report that the tasting room will open at Hillside March the 16th, and the Bistro will open March the 20th. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by winemakers Cut in Oliver. A heads up that they are redoing their tasting list for March. That includes some very special library wines like Bohemian Tempranillo, Merlot, their all-time favorite Gruner Veltliner, and also a new release of Rosé for 2023. Winter wine tasting has never been more popular. They still pour mulled wine and warm mimosa that can be enjoyed on their heated patio. And customers can bring their kids and let them enjoy the skating rink at District Wine Village, while parents can enjoy the creations from Winemaker's Cut. Celebrate with Winemaker's Cut the last days of winter and the first days of spring this March. Winemaker's Cut in the District Wine Village in Oliver. Details at winemakerscut.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. It's part two of our Fall into BC Wine. Basically, what it is, it's a call to, if you're a wine fan, if you care about BC wines and farmers, the farming community, and everybody, the accommodation, the food business, restaurants in and around British Columbia, we're doing a two-part conversation. And in part two, we have gathered, I got their official titles because it was really important. You got to get them right or they get really ticked. Sandra Ofield, who's a partner in Elysium Projects, who's in her in the back of her limo. And where are you exactly?
I'm in Penticton.
Also in Penticton. No, I don't know where he is. Tim Pozzi, Hired Belly, the CEO. Tim, where are you?
I'm actually in Vancouver.
Oh, well, wonderful. Thank you. It doesn't look like that. It's very dark there and green today. I said Leslie Dondria, good friend, co-founder and CEO of Noble Ridge in Okanagan Falls. I have the luxury of having done the first half of this interview, I'm actually going to ask some of the same questions, which I normally don't do, but I need everybody's opinion in all of this. Were you aware, and when did you become aware of Fall into BC Wine, and did it work for you, Sandra Ofield, when you first heard it?
Oh, when I first heard it, it was from you, and yeah, I guess it obviously makes sense. I mean, we're trying to make sure that people are supporting and purchasing from the wineries year round. So it's a good initiative for the fall for sure.
Leslie?
Wine Growers has been doing a good job of getting promotional materials out to wineries on a regular basis. We look forward to these various promotional campaigns, and this one is particularly important this year for sure.
Tim, did you hear the question?
I did hear the question. I mean, I think it's crucial at this point. I've always tried to be supportive, because I believe strongly in BC wine, and obviously it's been a big part of my career. But I think this year more than ever, it's so vital that we not only pay attention, but really try and support in concrete terms what's going on.
What kind of state is the, Sandra, what's the state of the Okanagan, BC wine in particular, currently? Before I told you about the initiative, were you concerned about this year or previous years or the years ahead?
Well, all the above. I mean, I can't say that wineries were necessarily not struggling prior to COVID. I mean, all wineries are small and they face issues because there's a lot for them to do and only so many people that can do these jobs. And, you know, it's a pretty capital intensive industry as well. And so difficulties for sure. But then COVID came along, which added an initial bump, and then, you know, cost savings from consumers and changing demands after that. And then, of course, we know that the wine industry was hit by some difficulties coming out of winter with some damage. And then, of course, the summer was a pretty slow tourism season with the end getting stronger until the travel ban happened in the province. So, you know, it's been a bunch of hurdles, but I'd say overall, changing consumer demands and basically thin margins have been very difficult for this industry for a lot longer than the last year.
Yeah. Leslie?
I want to harken back to, it wasn't just COVID, which of course was a U-turn for all of us, but 2021, I'll remind everyone, heat dome, we had floods, We had transportation supply chain issues. Like 2021, I remember, is like, what the heck happened here? I thought I had kind of, and of course, we were still dealing with figuring out COVID and how we respond to that. And again, I'll remind people, December 2021 was when we had a very cold Christmas, you know, followed by this past cold Christmas. So yeah, we come, I have to say, I find myself and my peers coming into this year kind of with our ears back going, okay, what's next? And we got a what's next between this year. I mean, in terms of, I know personally, we were down, predicting down 50% yield. So for us, that means, okay, that's going to affect next spring whites, next couple of years reds. So that changes our thinking and our projections and our financials. We thought we were going to be in, you know, reasonable state this year. We had a good yield last year. And then we get hit, as Sandra mentions, with tourism. Things were soft for sure. Interest rates, oh gosh, every small business in the country is dealing with that. Things were softer, and then we are hit with wildfires and tourism. And then in our, again, local area, we went, okay, great, we'll work with our locals, and they couldn't get to us because of a rock slide. So it's been a very difficult year.
It was described as a perfect storm of everything wrong. Christine Coletta.
Yeah. If I may, I would just add one more thing in that. I think, so what we're certainly telling our people, our friends and family and guests, if you love BC wine, you need to support it, and you need to support it now through their wine clubs, through the DT, you know, some aren't going to make it if we don't really get behind them.
I'm thinking of the smaller farms as well, the farm gates. Tim, are you still with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Did you hear that conversation? And you want
yes,
to jump
I did,
in?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, again, it's been brutal the last 2-3 years, and I think that I was just trying to do some prep for this discussion, and one of the challenges I find is that if you tell people to head down the Okanagan, it's a very uncertain time of year for people to go. Mm-hmm. They're not sure if the tasting rooms are open. So I think there's great potential to reconnect actually with the wineries, and with smaller wineries in particular. And just encouraging people to phone ahead, maybe talk to somebody at the winery, make sure they are open. But it's actually a wonderful time to go and explore. And I think it's a great time to go and really, like for instance, in Leslie's case, I would, you know, go down, find a place to stay in the immediate area and really do a thorough, you know, exploration of Okanagan Falls. Like, why not? Like, take some time. Don't be always rushing off to try and cover half the valley when there's so much to see in each specific area. So that was my first thought.
And whether it's one of the things about farming and the farmers, they seem to be resilient. They seem to just somehow take it personally that they're stewards of the land. Am I right on that, or is that just Hollywood script writers?
Well, I think you have to be. If you're not, you get out of the business for sure. I mean, I remember thinking before we'd started this adventure, you know, why would I ever go into farming? You have to worry about it all the time, or you don't get a straight answer from a farmer. Well, you don't, because a farmer's learned anything could happen in the next month until you've harvested that grape, in our case, or whatever. Resilient. I think we all have to be resilient right now. Again, I think more broadly to small business generally, gosh, there's no more normal. So now let's figure out how do we make best with what's in front of us and what's looking ahead.
I think maybe I can just jump in here. I think what makes it more shocking is that, you know, we had such a run of amazing vintages. If you think about it, you know, going back to 1998, there were very, very few blips, like 2010. Sandra, Leslie, you can correct me, but overall, we've had an incredibly unusual winning streak for the wine industry. So I think in a way that maybe amplifies the shock and the unusual aspect of what's been happening the last 3 years, because we were really spoiled for so long. So, you know, I mean, I'm not a farmer per se, so it's a bit flip to say, well, that's farming, but we've actually had really good conditions overall, a great run for the last 2 decades until the last 3-4 years.
Thank you, Tim. Sandra, you're organizing the Fortify Conference in Penticton. What is it going to cover any and all of this?
I start with the programming in the early spring, like February or March, and I was headed towards a bunch of post-recovery type topics. And then knowing what was happening with the winter and then seeing how June started out a little slow out here, I immediately shifted the programming because I kind of knew that by November, given what I was hearing with the crop, and the majority of people that come to Fortify are still wineries. Well, somebody asked me yesterday what the theme is for the conference, and I've never picked a theme, but this year I would just say survival. And then lastly, you know, one of the big issues, and I've talked about this with Leslie quite a bit, I'm doing a study with the society that houses Fortify Conference. And, you know, we're looking at job sharing at the higher level, at the CFO, CEO, GM, marketing manager level, because most of these wineries, they can't afford to pay the salaries of all these big people, but they have to start learning ways of, hey, I only need you 2 days a week. I'm going to pay you 2 days a week.
Nice timing on the conference.
And, you know, this is not a production conference. We don't work with like how to make a better wine, how to make a better beer. We feel like these producers, they know that stuff. But what they aren't figuring out is, you know, how do we still market our brand to a shifting consumer landscape as well as do it for less money? Not only that, but, you know, how do we budget well for going into, you know, the next year and things like that. So if you love these businesses, they have to be paying attention to these things in order to be able to stay around.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm glad you got that in there. Fire, smoke, perfect storm, freeze, roads. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the wine festival and the road ahead. And then what we can do, we the wine fan, we the consumer can do in the next part. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by winemakers Cut in Oliver. A heads up that they are redoing their tasting list for March. That includes some very special library wines like Bohemian Tempranillo, Merlot, their all-time favorite Gruner Veltliner, and also a new release of Rosé for 2023. Winter wine tasting has never been more popular. They still pour mulled wine and warm mimosa that can be enjoyed on their heated patio. And customers can bring their kids and let them enjoy the skating rink at District Wine Village, while parents can enjoy the creations from Winemaker's Cut. Celebrate with Winemaker's Cut the last days of winter and the first days of spring this March. Winemaker's Cut in the District Wine Village in Oliver. Details at winemakerscut.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Winery in West Kelowna. February seems to be whimpering over in the corner, calling for red wines. How about Blaufränkisch? The black and blue modest wines. Original Vine Series Cabernet Sauvignon 2020. The 2022 Pinot Noir. The Original Vines PTG. Check out the By Jove Sangiovese. The Contessa, of course. Reserve Pinot Noir. The 2021 Syrah. The 2020 Reserve Syrah, the Reserve Malbec 2019, and the Original Vines Cab Franc Merlot. All the details on those and the rest of the wines at mountboucherie.com. Welcome back. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. Sandra Ofield is on the screen and on audio with us, partner in Elysium Projects. Did I get that right?
I had to think for a second. Yes, you did.
Sure. Tim Pozzi is having some camera problems, but he's still here with his audio. You're here, right, Tim?
I am here, yeah.
He is the CEO of Hired Belly. And Leslie D'Andrea, co-founder and CEO of Noble Ridge, Okanagan Falls. Welcome you all. We are talking about a fall into BC wine because not just a bumper sticker catchphrase. They need help. They need support from the wine fan and the industry in general. And if you identify with the struggles they're going through, then you might join this as well. They have dealt with fires and smoke. It's called a perfect storm because also there was a freeze, landslides, all of those things. And then along came road closures. Was that a wrong decision? It was right to close the roads. We understand that, just for everybody's safety. But 3 weeks, a month, how long and what damage did that do? Leslie?
All of a sudden, bam, there was a very extreme response to the road closure. You know, we don't have another way of making that route work. And I think that is a huge problem for our area in a long-term way, a short-term obvious, but in long-term way, whether it's winter snow, rock slides, fatalities on the highway, that highway, when it closes completely, that's it. There are very few other options. And I think that's a gap we need to get solved.
Yeah, yesterday was a tourism summit day out here in Penticton. I sit on the board of the Thompson Okanagan Tourism Association, and half the afternoon there was a panel on transportation inside the Okanagan. I mean, you know, they're starting to have conversations about like trams, you know, tramways that are not high speed. Nothing's high speed. Nothing's like wildly super expensive. But, you know, how are we going to start working around some of these issues? But at the end of the day, we do have to realize that the reason why we live in this province, it's a spectacular province, and it's very large. And there are always going to be road closures. It's just going to happen. And so, again, businesses have to be pretty, like, it's very hard for, let's say, a restaurant to be nimble when you must get the product at the restaurant. But, you know, there are other ways for wineries to stay nimble. And, you know, it's through email campaigns, right? And so, you know, again, those kinds of things have to be sharpened up a bit in the industry.
If I could add, Terry, sorry. To me, Sandra, it's like, I know I need to build redundancy in my staffing. If my number one, you know, winemaker or whatever, if I don't have some kind of backup for when that dear person needs to go for a vacation, never mind get sick or something else happens, I know I'm working hard. I don't have it all done. I don't have it all solved, but I'm working towards making sure I have backup. And I guess that's what I would suggest for our major arteries. You're right. I mean, we came here for a reason. It is what it is. But I would see it as a goal that we figure out even temporary alternate routes or some other methods to manage when it's not if, when these things are going to happen.
Tim Fazzi, your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm not as quite as local as Leslie and Sandra are, of course. But I mean, yeah, the backup, the alternative routes, so what a huge inconvenience. I mean, and not just an inconvenience, but an absolute impediment. And it couldn't have happened at a worse time. So I totally feel for you guys.
There was thought in the first group that that it didn't have to be 3 weeks. It could 3 days would have done just fine. Thank you very much. But the damage was done.
And I'm not sure. I mean, it was pretty quickly opened in both directions, but, you know, just one lane instead of two. Mm-hmm. And I think the bigger issue was the provincial-wide travel ban, because we shouldn't be looking at whether or not we're in West Kelowna or Penticton or Similkameen. I mean, what about people who are on Vancouver Island who had no issues, you know, or people that were in Cache Creek or whatever, and they saw a travel ban for, you know, 3 days, people canceled their reservations, and then the province opened back up again. I think the province knows that will hopefully be handled better the next time.
Maybe the province is coming to your conference. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. Sandra Ofield, partner in Elysium Projects. Tim Fazzi is having some camera problems, but he's still here with his audio. You're here, right, Tim?
I am here, yep.
He is the CEO of Hired Belly. And Leslie Dondria, co-founder and CEO of Noble Ridge, Okanagan Falls. A couple of comments that jumped out at me at the first group. It was from Grant Stanley, who got literally steamrolled by the freeze. He says, there's no reason to be pessimistic. We'll just carry on. This is another hurdle to go through. And I applauded that. I really did. The other was from Reese, who said, this may be Mother Nature's way of saying it's time to replant. And then somebody piped in, you're going to be seeing a lot of 21B Riesling in the future. Tim Fazzi, because you can't put your hand up. Do you want to just any comment on those?
I don't, again, have a good handle on exactly what happened. But I did hear that the more established vines were less hard hit, is that correct, Leslie? I mean, we lost a lot of newer plantings. Is that a fair observation?
Possibly. Certainly healthier, hardier plants are going to survive generally. But our experience was it was also very varietal specific.
Right.
On the same property, one variety did better than another. I also think it was very geographically based. You know, some areas got hit far more than others, and they were not even that far apart.
But that doesn't change the fact that some of these places have arm damage and definitely bud damage. So they came out, you know, like Leslie says, coming out at 50% of the crop is 50% of the wine, is 50% of the revenue, is 50% sure. of everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the next few years. And I would add, Tim, too, that you'll recall part of what this year's reduction in yield, it's partly the cold, certainly at Christmas, but you'll recall last fall, we had summer for September and October. We had this hot, fabulous fall that saved the vintage in many ways. But I'm thinking of Oliver Nasuyus. Those plants were out and happy and going, yay, I'm fully ripened. And finally, we could get the cab sobs off. It was fabulous. But then they had a week and then they got snow. So there was no chance for hardening off. So that plant was already sort of three steps behind when the cold hit at Christmas.
You talk of those vines as though they were living, breathing things that you talk
about.
They're
all my children.
Every day. What can we do, the consumer, those who are watching and listening, what can we do? There's been suggestions, but I'll start. Tim, do you have any suggestions on what we as consumers can do to help each of these wineries and farmers?
Well, I would say, first of all, if you buy a winery's wines regularly and you're not in the wine club, why not? It makes so much sense to join a wine club for so many reasons. If you have a flexible schedule, if you're empty nesters, why not consider a trip down to the valley or, and like I was saying before, to check out a small area. And one thing I've noticed, there's a fantastic increase in winery guest houses recently. Mm-hmm. It's a great way. Not only is it a great way to see a small region, like say St. Milkameen, where there are some great options, but if you go stay at a winery, guess what? You're going to get the inside dirt. You're going to find out what's going on, who's new, what's happening. It's a really great way to explore a region. So that's a couple of things I would suggest for sure.
Leslie?
Thank you, Tim. You summed it up. You took my first words out of my mouth for sure. The wine club is really the way we can spoil our guests, but also you're showing yours loyalty and helping us out tremendously. It's the way to even out the bumps in a revenue year, you know, in your revenues over the year. Visit us directly for sure. Talk about us. If you've enjoyed the wine, tell someone who might be a dedicated French wine or bust, you know, talk about us. Share the BC wine. And because really, there's, as I'm talking to the converted, but there's great BC wine. And usually once people taste it, they go, wow. And they're surprised. And they then hopefully become new fans.
Sandra.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a couple wineries say to me, like, you know, I wish the industry would stop talking about us like we're a charity. And I get that. It is super difficult times. I've been calling it an inflection point year. I do see the big opportunities, which is with change can come great things. And if you have to make some major changes, allow yourself a month or two to kind of, you know, catch your breath and re-strategize on what you should be doing and maybe not going back to planning the same things. And don't just look at consumer trends. It's a bigger thing. It's more like, how do I use my land? How am I going to use my whole land? And what's my business plan going to be? Am I still going to be open 7 days a week? Every day of the year, maybe we need to make sure that we as consumers are more accepting of wineries that say that they're open 3 or 4 days a week, because that's all that they can afford to be open right now. So I think as consumers, we also just need to stay flexible too.
Can I just say about that comment about we're not charities? I would suggest some people might want to just find a kinder heart, because if the words aren't right, how much does it hurt? But if the funds don't show up, if the support doesn't show up, it doesn't matter what they're saying to you. You're done, like dinner.
Of course. Of course. And then from my perspective, I mean, we've had periods of up and down in the industry before, and we will be up again.
Audience, I hope that somewhere along the way, you got some answers to your questions, or that we maybe just got the profile of WineBC a little higher, and you'll start thinking about it. When you go into a restaurant, order BC wines. If you're going to a store, ask them to bring those BC wines forward. Bring them forward. So you got to step around that. Keep reminding, a little bump and nudge. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. Sandra Ofield, partner in Elysium Projects. Tim Pozzi is having some camera problems, but he's still here with his audio. You're here, right, Tim?
I am here, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is the CEO of Hired Belly. And Leslie Dondria, co-founder and CEO of Noble Ridge, Okanagan Falls. Thank you for being here. Really appreciate this, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to see you all.
Thank all three of you. And Tim, nice to see you again. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Okanagan Wine Festivals. These are just some of the events ahead. At Township 7, indulge your senses while you leap into your cellars. Embrace the rare occurrence of the leap year as they uncork vintage library wines. Saturday, February the 24th, two wine chat series. At 1 o'clock, at Grey Monk, and at 4 o'clock, at Sandhill. On February the 28th, another long table series, Italian-inspired, at the Sonora Room Restaurant in Oliver. And finally, February the 29th, Battle of the Winemakers, 100 Mark versus DeWitt, plus a four-course dinner at Mont Boucherie. Find all of the details at thewinefestivals.com.